This is Sharon Sarles with the Great Shalom Broadcast. And today I have in the studio with me Thomas Umstead Jr., who's going to be talking about gaming addiction and how we can be free from that and how we can ensure our children are free from that. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you, Sharon.
So I understand you are a homeschool graduate yourself.
Yes. Yes, I am. 11 years as a homeschool student, way back when it was still only sort of legal and we hid away from the cops.
Well, I think it's always been legal in Texas, although not everyone has agreed.
Yeah.
And I understand you're also a graduate of college.
That's right. Just graduated from the University of Mary Hardin-Baylor.
Well, congratulations. And so what is your degree in?
I'm business management.
Okay. Well, great. So tell us now a little bit about your story.
And I grew up as a gamer. And for those of you who don't know what that is, video gamers, but it's not everyone who plays a video game is a gamer. A gamer is kind of you identify yourself as a gamer. It means that you're playing a lot, and that's part of who you are as a person. And gamers know who they are, and if you're listening and you're a gamer, you know who you are. And for me, gaming became an addiction. And at first, I felt like it was just a problem for me, but then I started to realize that the problem is very widespread throughout the United States and even around the world, where people are playing for 10, 12 hours a day, or even 6 hours a day, and it starts to destroy the rest of their life. And so I've been talking in different places, and I have a podcast at cgames.com, kind of letting people know about the problem and then helping them find freedom from that. In many ways, it's a lot like an alcohol addiction. It's not that alcohol is necessarily bad itself, but that some people who have addicted tendencies can really get addicted to alcohol, and it can cause a lot of problems.
Okay, so being a gamer itself does not mean that you're an addict. Is that right?
No, not everyone who drinks is an addict. Not everyone who games is an addict. But there are gamers who are addicts, and for some people are like, really? And it's really true. The guy that lived across me in the hall actually in college played probably about 16 hours a day. He stopped going to class. He stopped going to work. He even stopped going to the cafeteria. He just woke up and played, went and grabbed fast food and brought it home and continued playing.
Right. When it interferes with your life, that's when you've crossed the line into addiction, right?
That's right.
So how does a parent distinguish between a kid who just really likes to game a lot and somebody who's now in trouble?
Well, one of the things you want to look for is whether they're choosing to do other things or if you give them a choice with their time, if they'll always choose video games. So if a child has a free afternoon and sometimes they're going outside to play with friends and sometimes they're doing different things, that probably means that they have a healthy relationship or a more healthy relationship with video games. But if you have a son or a daughter who anytime they have 2 seconds to spare, they're on the Nintendo or they're on their Game Boy, that's usually a pretty good warning sign that it's gotten out of hand and that they're seeking too much satisfaction out of life from their game and not enough from real life.
Okay. So it's not just the interest, but also the lack of interaction with the real world.
That's right.
Virtual world has taken over.
That's right. And it's not just a kind of a sociological thing. It's also a chemical thing. It turns out, PC Magazine did an article about this last year in 2007. They said it turns out that playing video games activates the basal ganglia portion of the brain, the region that releases dopamine. It's the same region of the brain that's affected by cocaine. The problem is that this release means that there's less dopamine available when the child needs to perform other, less enjoyable tasks, such as homework. The video games are not like cocaine. Your brain thinks they are cocaine. And if you doubt that, try to take the controller out of my son's hands before he reaches a save point. And so it's once they start to get that chemical addiction that they're no longer getting that kind of dopamine enjoyment out of, say, playing outside or playing with friends. And I was like this. I started to only have friends that were other gamers, and that was kind of my common bond. And so when I meet a new kid or a new teen, one of the first questions I was asked is, well, are you a gamer? And if they had a blank expression, I knew they weren't. So.
But you were still dealing with human beings.
I was still dealing with human beings. And the most addictive games, you play online with other people. So it's not like you're totally isolated, but your only commonality usually is the game itself. You have a very kind of shallow relationship compared to a real life friendship.
Okay. Well, now tell me if I'm right. I kind of think that this glowing screen has a certain appeal, just like when a baby is born, it's looking for the shiny things, its mother's eyes, and there is a bond right there. And I see there are some environments like casinos where there is intentionally darkness and glowing screens. And I wonder if this glowing screen catches humans somehow. And then there's also a certain amount of social element. Mm-hmm. And so we're set up to be maybe even seduced. Maybe people write games for that. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, the whole point of writing a game is for it to kind of draw you in and kind of capture your attention. And you'll see terms like addiction thrown out a lot in gaming advertisements. And people that play games like World of Warcraft or EverQuest will call them almost affectionately World of Warcrack or EverCrack, in the sense that the appeal is just like crack cocaine. So there's very much that. And it's not for everyone. Some people, they put a quarter in a slot machine, pull the lever, lose, and they're like, this is stupid, and they never play again. And it's the same way with video games. But some people, that there's just something about it that really draws them in.
Right. And there's not much productive when you're doing a game, particularly if you're doing it 16 hours a day instead of going to class.
Yeah, I used to always try to talk to my parents about the benefits of video gaming and trying to convince them how helpful it was to my real life. But really, there are some benefits, especially compared to TV, but compared to pretty much any other activity, the benefits are pretty negligible.
Mm-hmm. In fact, we're beginning to talk about this in the preschool arena, that children who come to school in cars where they're watching, it's television usually, mm-hmm. often are having a hard time then connecting with the real world once they get to school. But children who come in carpools where they're talking with other children mm-hmm. seem to transition into school and be able to focus much better in school.
Yeah. The screen is linked with things like autism and other things like that, because there's interacting with someone on a screen on a computer is not the same as interacting with someone in real life. Learning how to read facial expressions, learning how to listen. When on the computer, you don't really have to listen. That kind of the messages will stack up and you can go and do something else, then you can go and catch up later. But you can't do that in a conversation. If you kind of zone out, people will notice and then they'll get offended. And so you generally, it makes it difficult to interact socially.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is a fairly widespread problem?
Yeah, the most addictive form of gaming is called a massively multiplayer online role-playing game, which is a really awkward acronym. But we call it in the gaming world MMOs for short, and there's an estimated 50 million people that play MMOs around the world, and the average amount of time that they play, the average is 20 hours a week. So, and that will range upwards to 80 hours and more. So if you think of that, the average person plays 20, it's very common for people to play a lot more than that. So. Mm-hmm. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people that are putting in 60 hours a week, 80 hours a week. So pretty much a full-time job just going into the screen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if – I'm thinking of males mostly gaming, but females can talk a lot online and maybe the same kind of thing.
That's right. Women play games as well. In fact, the kind of the stereotype we have of a gamer is a 12-year-old boy, but it's actually – the average gamer is a 33-year-old man, and that gaming is very, very common amongst adults. But it's not as popular among women and girls, but chatting and Facebook and MySpace kind of come and fill that gap. And girls actually will spend just as much, if not more, time online, depending on what demographic you're looking at.
Right. Well, we've talked about the problem, but I think you share with me the idea that God wants us free and having an abundant life. So we'll talk pretty quick on how to avoid this and what to do if you find yourself in that problem.
That's right. Jesus shares a really great principle on finding freedom from sin. And he does that. He was talking about casting demons out of somebody. And if there's a demon in someone, you cast it out and you don't replace it, then, you know, that demon will go and wander in lonely places and then come back and bring back more. And so you have to replace the no with a bigger yes, and you have to say yes to Jesus.
Oh, that sounds great to me. Right now, let's thank our underwriters, and then we'll come back in the second part of the show. We'll talk about how to say yes to Jesus and particularly no to gaming addiction.
God wants you healed. That's right. Forget about why God may not want you healed. He does want you healed, well and healthy. And in Sharon Sarles' new book, God Wants You Healed, she shows you this from a biblical perspective. This new book is available now and can be obtained in either a downloadable format or in hard copy at www.greatshalom.org. That's www.greatshalom.org. And remember, God wants you healed.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital Teaching, 4 CDs in a set, $50. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory. Celebrate the victory.
Hello, this is the Great Shalom Broadcast and I'm Sharon Sarles. Welcome back. We've been talking about gaming addiction and how Jesus can free us from that and keep us free. We, in the break, we were talking here in the studio about some other things I think are important about game addiction, that it becomes like a false brotherhood.
Yeah, a false community. That's one of the things that really draw people in, is if they're having trouble making those friends in the real world, or RL friends, as we call it. The RL stands for real life friends, as opposed to your gaming friends. That can really be a substitute and really a draw, because many of these online games, you join a guild, which is kind of like an online gang or family where you go and you fight together and you do raids together, and you're kind of this team and you have to contribute. So if everyone else is putting in 8 hours a day and you're only putting in 4, then there's a lot of social pressure to either spend more time playing or you get kicked out of the guild. And so there's a real draw there. A lot like the gangs that we had back in the 60s and 70s kind of took in boys from dysfunctional families. Online gangs or guilds are beginning to do the same thing.
Mm. Well, I'd much rather put in my contribution to a real life community that's really going to help me when times are down. Oh, like a congregation maybe.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea what real life-on-life relationships were until after I quit gaming and joined a church that really emphasized community and living together and sticking it out, as iron is sharpening iron and the sparks are flying and it hurts and you want to quit, but sticking it out, and that the result of that conflict is a greater intimacy, and that brings a greater conflict. And online, it's really easy to just drop the people you don't want and grab new people, but that there's something that happens to your character when you stick with it.
Right, and I understand there's a lot about building character, mm-hmm. building castles, but wouldn't it be better to build real life character, real life community, real life projects?
Right. Imagine someone spending 8 hours playing a game. If they spent even half of that doing something productive, you know, even contributing to Wikipedia, or, you know, spending time sharing the gospel or with helping the poor, you know, the world would be a much different place, especially when you multiply that 4 hours a day by 50 million players.
Sure, sure. Even a business mm-hmm. has some productivity
that's right.
in it.
But, that's right.
But everything is fake in the virtual world, mm-hmm. if you look at it that way. Yeah.
Yeah, you can even have a fake business. There's games that you can go and create a shoe business or an online business. Second Life lets you do that. But it's all not real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, of course, there's some programming I understand that's quite the opposite of edifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us how to say yes to Jesus and no to fake gaming.
Well, in my book that I'm writing a book about the dangers of digital gaming. The title is pending. Right now we're playing around with digital cancer, because cancer cells don't do anything in the body. They don't contribute. All they do is kind of receive. Mm-hmm. And so the more cancer you have, the more your organs aren't able to function. And that's kind of what happens with our time as we're gaming. It's where we start to contribute more and more time. But there's 7 steps that I've kind of laid out to kind of help people go through and find freedom from gaming. And the first step is admitting the problem. And that's pretty much across any sort of addiction. The first step is to admit the problem. Because if you aren't willing to accept the fact that you have a problem, then you're not willing to accept any sort of treatment, or you're not willing to work through it. And so sometimes you have to do an intervention, a lot like what you do with an alcoholic or a drug addict. And there are counselors that will do this. And we basically sit down with somebody and very lovingly say, you know, we love you, but there's this problem and we all see it and we want to help you find freedom from this. And you have to be willing to kind of deal with the emotions and be very firm but very loving. So admitting the problem is the first step. And I have some tools on my website, cgames.com, to help parents help their students or their children with that. So one of them is an idolatry test or an addiction test. Another one is a talk that I gave actually at the CHEAC Book Fair mm-hmm. last year. You can watch that video on mm-hmm. cgames.com. And that's the letter C and then the word games.com. And so admitting the problem is the first step. The second step is just surrender to the lordship of Christ. Because for me, if you'd have asked me who is number one in my heart as a gamer, I would have said God, or I would have said
we
Jesus.
We know this
yeah,
is the right
I know,
answer.
I know the right answer, but if you'd have actually tested me, or if I had have tested me and seen, you know, what do I spend most of my time doing? What do I spend most of my time thinking about? What do I want to talk about with my friends? Where does my money go? These sorts of tests that can test what the true desires of the heart was. The answer to very many of those was gaming. You know, what do mm-hmm. I spend most of my time doing? What do I spend my time thinking about? Because that's the thing. Gamers, often when they're not gaming, they think about it all the time, and then mm-hmm. they dream about it. I thought it was the only one that dreamt about the video games that I was yeah. playing, but when I started talking with other former gamers, they're like, oh, yeah, I still dream about the games, you know, even years later, because it was so part of what they were. And so surrendering to the Lordship of Christ and really letting Him be boss and letting His glory be more important than our happiness is a huge step. And, mm-hmm. and it's one that you really have to take to find freedom, because if you don't do that, you'll just replace gaming addiction with board game addiction or with gambling or with mm-hmm. work mm-hmm. or, you know, insert anything. Even good things, if they take a place higher than Christ, those good things become idolatry.
Mm-hmm. And so the test is, what are you investing in, time mm-hmm. and money?
Right.
And if you're not investing in the Lord, mm-hmm. then, yeah, that's the test. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but then you just have to give up pleasure?
No, you don't. But the difference is that pleasure becomes a side effect instead of the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like living your life to eat, as opposed to eating and enjoying food is a part of life, but it's not the goal of life.
Mm-hmm.
You can see people who live their life with the goal of eating. It creates problems in their bodies.
Right.
And it's the same thing as if you live your life with the goal of pleasure, the goal of happiness. God gives us peace and joy, but He does that when we're seeking Him first, and then all those things are added to
us. Boy, that's sure my experience. You bet. Okay.
Okay, so step three is, I call it cleaning house, or it's a personal inventory. And this is when you really examine your heart. And it talks about this in the Bible. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith and to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so this is when you ask yourself the tough questions. You know, what am I fearing God in? What am I not fearing God in? And it's really where you kind of go through and you examine your heart for all of your past sins in a sense, and it kind of combines well with step four, which is confession, where you're going and you're confessing those sins to God and also to someone else. James talks about confess your sins one to another and you will be healed. And if you want to be healed from gaming addiction, it's been my experience that confessing that is very important. And there's something about speaking it that I don't understand that is very important. We live in a world that was spoken into existence. And so mm-hmm. something about the power of the tongue that's very powerful. And when you confess and renounce something with your tongue, it's really powerful. But in addition to that, having someone else, a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, who can help you find freedom and that you're accountable to, and someone who won't let go of you when you're stumbling or struggling, it really helps with that. And so step three is cleaning house. Step four is confession. And then step five is reconciliation, and that's when you go and you kind of look back on your past life. And if you're a younger gamer, this is easier than if you're an older gamer. And you yeah. reconcile with the people in your life that you've wronged or you've harmed. And this often means saying, you know, I'm sorry. And mm-hmm. other times this means saying, I forgive you. And it's kind of cleaning house. It's almost like a decluttering. So let's say you've got your house and it's got junk and trash all over. It's on the tables and on the floors and everything. And you just get rid of it all so that you have more room to bring in Jesus so that He can organize and kind of redecorate, if you will.
Mm-hmm. It's really an anchor into the shared social world
mm-hmm.
we have.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you have more to share as well. So, you know, if your glass is half full with just junk, you have less to pour out and give to others. Whereas mm-hmm. as God – and this is a lifetime process. So confession, reconciliation, repentance, the longer we walk with Christ, the more completely we're able to do that. It's mm-hmm. not something you just do once. You know, you don't believe once or repent once. You continue to believe. You continue to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And so step five is reconciliation. Step six is realizing your new identity in Christ. And this is one of the really neat things, that when we are in Christ, we're a new creation. It means that the old is gone. So the mm-hmm. old person is just totally out of the picture, and you're a new person. And so a lot of this means, you know, spending time with Jesus and asking Him, you know, who am I? Who am I in you? And reading the scriptures where He says, you know, you are a son of the Most High God. You know, I delight in you. You know, it says in the Psalms that we're the apple of His eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of strength in that. And the strength doesn't come from us. It comes from Christ in us that gives us the ability to say, no, I'm not going to do that because it doesn't please the Father. You know,
mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing. I don't do anything that doesn't please the Father, because He lived like God was number one in His life. He really believed it. And He really lived like it was is true.
Yeah. You know, I kind of wonder how this must sound to somebody who doesn't have that experience. It must sound like a bunch of dusty gobbledygook. But actually, it's a reality that we mm-hmm. experience. And so I would recommend, if somebody is in that position, to actually ask God, reveal this to me, show mm-hmm. this to me. And then the second thing to do is to apprehend it by faith, to receive it and believe it.
That's right.
And then you do see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
It's really true. And these steps work. I didn't really come up with these. I mean, these sorts of things have been around for a mm-hmm. long time because mm-hmm. this is what Christians do. Christians confess sin, yes. It's like I didn't invent confession of sin. It's been around for a very long time. And it's not that the confession itself saves us. I know there's lots of doctrinal things, but there's something important in that. And I have a friend that went through Alcoholics Anonymous, and mm-hmm. he did it with a bunch of really on fire for Christ people. Mm-hmm. And through the process of that, he's fallen in love with God so much. And Jesus talks about, you know, he who's been forgiven much loves much. And that's so true with this guy.
True.
He is just on fire. And I felt that as well, maybe to a lesser degree, as God set me free from gaming addiction and from other things, that I really do. I love God more because I see how much he saved me out of. And then that leads into the seventh step, which is outreach and helping others and sharing the gospel. And this mm-hmm. is really the true adventure because it's scary, but it's that scariness that makes it so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Can you tell us your seven steps again real quickly?
Okay, step one is admit the problem. Step two is surrender to the lordship of Christ. Step three is to clean house or have a personal inventory. Step four is confession. Step five, reconciliation. Step six, your new identity in Christ. And step seven is outreach.
Okay, great. Give us your contact information again, your website.
You can reach me at cgames.com. That's the letter C, the word games.com. There's videos on there. There's a blog, podcast, all kind of great stuff.
Okay. And so let's pray together and lead somebody into a prayer if they are in this spot. So let's pray. I'll pray.
Okay.
Dear Lord, I have heard the offer of a new life in Christ, and I'll take you up on that offer. I will give up my old life. I'll give up my sin. If you will forgive me and cleanse me and give me a new life. So I will accept your offer. We thank you for your grace, for your forgiveness, and we'll depend on you for the repentance and for the change of life. So I confess you, I receive you as my Savior and confess you as my Lord and receive by faith your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. So you are to believe in your heart that God has made you new. You are to confess with your mouth and you should follow up with actions. Find yourself a community of salvation, people who are walking out their salvation. Present yourself to the leader teacher there that we call the pastor and become baptized, an outward symbol. So you got spirit, soul, words, body lining up, and have a new life. Free from addiction, free from bondage of all kinds. You'll find that there are other challenges, but God wants you totally free. And that's why we call it great shalom, great well-being, nothing missing, nothing broken. Hallelujah. Amen. If you'd like to come to our website, please do that at www.greatshalom, www.great, like big G-R-E-A-T, shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, greatshalom.org. You may write me at info@greatshalom.org, or you may write me land mail, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. We'd be delighted to pray with you. If you do have addictions, please get yourself into a community that understands you and helps you. Most congregations should be able to help you, and seven-step program might be able to help you, and so forth. So hope this is good for you, and we bless you. And we bless your children. Now we do have some product that I'd love to get into your hands. If you are a mother who needs to pray for her children, we have a turnkey study for either for your own personal prayer and Bible study or for a group Bible study. In fact, we've got two of them. One of them is for praying, and the other one is more about, well, I hate to say child rearing, because that puts the wrong, leaving a legacy in your children, okay? And it's not simply about the usual kinds of child rearing, but it's really success secrets. We do have an audio series of Jewish success secrets, and so we'd be glad to give that to you. Come to the website for the cost and the pricing, and which is the same thing. And anyway, how to do this. Unfortunately, we do not have a shopping cart at this time. We do not have digital means at this time, because it just, well, if you would like us to have that, let me know. But for now, you just have to write me. We have a wonderful audio set that I think is extraordinarily important if you're an educator. And true that all parents are educators, but professional educators in this time, it's a very dark time and it's very difficult. We do have some specific mandates from Scripture, how to be a teacher in this dark time. And so I have an audio CD set, and I'm told, oh, that's old-fashioned. Well, sorry, this is what we're doing. If you would like us to upgrade to a little bit better delivery system and so forth, let me know. Send me some money so I can hire somebody to get that done. We can take digital currency and shopping cart and everything. So we're working on that. This summer, it is a series of things to do with your children you may have not have thought of, and you want them to be successful. Because we want them to be successful adults. And what we sow, we reap. So let's sow in good things. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.